Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Let the chamber pressure increase. It's at full.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Welcome to this very special interview on Cult Side Radio. My guest here today, tonight, or whenever the heck you're listening to it, is a filmmaker, a podcaster, an actress. Heck, she just does everything. She is literally what people should be during this crisis, which is just busy. And here she is, the one, the only...
Can you hear me?
Are you there? How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Was that too extravagant an intro or something?
That didn't work out.
What?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm here. I mean, you must have just lost me for a minute, because I could hear you.
Yeah. How long have you been working in the podcasting movie, well, the scene, as we call it?
Not very long, actually. So I've only just recently kind of gotten into actually behind the scenes of movies. I've been a podcaster, YouTuber for close to probably a year and a half, and have done a lot of reviews, a lot of interviews with filmmakers and actors. But I only started getting into acting itself probably in October. So I think it just started with one director that I was interviewing, and he was just like, here, you're going to be in my movie. And then... other directors kind of followed suit, so it just kind of came to me, actually.
Yeah, you worked with Dustin Ferguson, who's been on the show before. He's a great guy.
Yeah, so I think we also said Dwayne Etheridge has been on your show.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've worked with him. He's great. So.
Yeah, and you have a personality who recently come out of someone who's recently come out of retirement to help donate money for your movie for an anthology that's coming up.
No.
Oh, you mean Dr. Boobenstein wasn't retired?
Oh, no, she wasn't retired. No. I was very confused by that. Yeah, Dr. Boobenstein wasn't retired. She was a character that I created around Thanksgiving for a special where she hosted Night of the Living Dead. But then I just hadn't done anything with the character, and some Will Clauso, a director from Illinois, saw me on Facebook and had an anthology that he was doing called Faces of the Dead, and he didn't know that I had that character. He just saw me on Facebook and was like, hey, have you ever thought about doing a horror host thing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got a character for it. So it was perfect. So, yeah. So Dr. Boobenstein did her thing a couple days ago. And, yeah, so it's good that she's back. She's for hire, everybody.
Yeah. And I do love the fact that people are still making movies, even if it is by this disconnected way over the internet, even though we are isolated since the coronavirus happened. Those who want to create will always create.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because I've been, especially the last, 2 weeks, I've been super busy. So, of course, I did that that segment. I've done a 48-hour film project. So those are pretty familiar to filmmakers, but they've been doing these stuck-at-home projects where you basically have to collaborate with other people or just kind of do a film on your own. And I've got two more for a different contest, for a Rue Morgue magazine contest that I'm doing this week. So, yeah, it's been pretty cool. And people are getting creative on things. I know even within a web series that I'm doing with someone else, we had planned on shooting one of our segments. And I was like, you know what? We could probably do this with the standard phone call, each person recording their own video and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's not like the highest quality stuff I think that we're going to be getting, but I think it's fun. It's creative.
It'll just show I'd say the quality will be high. I mean, of course you're going to get clunk. You might get a couple of clankers, but that's always going to happen. But you're really going to see some talent come out of this, you know.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope that some of us who are just kind of sitting here waiting for our movies to to get back on schedule have some luck with some of these fun creative endeavors.
Yeah. And there is going to be a big void for product because with all the delays, the big theaters don't know what they're going to play when it comes out.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's worked to the advantage of at least one local place for me. So I'm in Indiana, and we have a drive-in called the Skyline Drive-In that actually operates every year. It's been in operation since
the
50s.
Oh, I know the
Skyline. Yeah,
Skyline. I've been there.
Well, they don't have new movies to play, and they're very supportive of independent horror, of retro stuff. They don't have new movies to play, so they've been playing some really awesome old classics. I think last weekend they played heavy metal, and I can't remember what the next weekend. They have they're having themes every week, but they're just playing old movies, and it's turned out to be pretty successful.
That's awesome. I would be there to watch heavy metal.
Yeah. It's a great place.
But, you see people who are just trying to survive here. And you do a lot of podcasts. I don't know why you did the Brady Bunch episode.
Okay, so I do have three separate podcasts. So
yeah.
I have my main podcast is In the Mic of Madness. That was the first podcast I started, and it is based around horror films. Right now we've actually been doing the Friday the 13th series. So I just last night recorded our show for Freddy versus Jason. It's not really separate so much. It's almost like a spinoff or an offshoot of that called SOBs Who Love SOV, where we discuss shot on video films, primarily of the 80s. But then my other podcast is a non-horror podcast, and it's called Sitcom Kaleidoscope, that I do with a man named Brad Farrell. We have a Facebook group if you're interested, and we cover various crazy topics in sitcoms. We kind of just both bonded over our love of cheesy shows. And so, yeah, the last thing we did, since everybody's in quarantine and no one can go on vacation, we decided to take everybody on vacation with the Brady Bunch. And we went through all the Brady Bunch vacation episodes.
Yeah, Vincent Price and the Tiki.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, and Freddy vs. Jason, does that mean you're doing the movies in order?
Yes. So, yeah, we are towards the end of this. We've got, obviously, the remake, reboot, reimagining, whatever you want to call it.
Jason
and then,
the Pop
we are,
is what I call it.
And then we're actually, because we all love it and we consider it canon, we're actually going to do Never Hike Alone. And the director, Vincent DeSanti, is going to come on and join us to talk about that film. So,
yeah, because with the way the lawsuit's going, I don't think we're getting a new Friday the 13th anytime soon.
No. And the Never Hike Alone, that movie, plus he's working on kind of a series of shorter ones. Those, I think, most people are considering just kind of as being the new canon, because we're just not going to be getting them anytime soon from the production companies.
Yeah, oh, production company is putting out a new box set this year that's looking for content. Never Hike Alone would be a good addition if you put those other Friday the 13th Tales from Crystal Lake on the last one.
Yeah, that would be nice. Too many people have to agree to too many things, though. That's the problem.
Well, the Friday the 13th podcast probably had trouble getting one person to agree on one thing. The other ones are probably like, okay, we got to do Jason X sometime, and then one person on the crew will be like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always funny when one member of the group hates something so much. It's like, we got to come
because
we want to be thorough. I don't care about being thorough.
we are completionists. We will go through every single one of them.
Did you even cover the novel?
No, we're just going through the film. So, yeah, none of the novels, none of the comics, you know, nothing like that, none of the... I mean, aside from Never Hike Alone, none of the fan films that have been coming out. But,
there have been pretty quite a few of the fan films.
Yeah, some are good, some are not, you know.
And the only weird thing about Friday the 13th is that Paramount's the only company I've seen that hasn't squashed the fan film movement.
Yeah, and again, there may be some issues with some of them once the legal issues are resolved, just because kind of nobody owns it and everybody owns it. So I'm not sure if anybody has like the real right to tell anybody that they can't do something. But once it all gets resolved, I think there are certain fan films who've used like the Friday the 13th name, who actually like use the Jason Voorhees name, who are going to get shut down. If it ever gets resolved. There's the big
one. Yeah, I do like it. Never Hike Alone just refers to him as the killer.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, like in fans, we all call him Ghost Jason, you know, but it's, he's never referred to as Jason. They never say Friday the 13th, and so, you know, he did his research. So I've interviewed Vinny several times, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and what was it you told me the other night? You're trying to be the scream queen of this, of the coronavirus incident.
Yeah, so, yeah, we were talking about all the silly things that I'm involved with, because I've got about 5 or 6, like, shorter projects that I've been working on since we've been in quarantine. I said, it's my goal to be the scream queen of quarantine.
And there's nothing wrong
with
that.
It may not happen, but I'm having fun.
Yeah, that's
all
it.
I know. And, I mean, I have to keep myself busy because I do have a lot of feature films that are in the works that have been postponed or pushed back or just, you know, they're up in the air because everything in our world is up in the air right now. So it's really hard to forge ahead with anything. So, yeah, you got to stay busy, got to stay creative and have fun.
And for all you people who think that she may be talking smack, the anthology and a couple of other projects she's working on, she's taking that money and putting it into another movie.
Yes, thank you for the segue. So I am the writer, producer, director of a film called The Embalmers. We are in the middle of a crowdfunding campaign right now, which is unfortunate because so many people are out of work. But it is a film that we hope to be able to put together in September. It stars Rob Mello from Happy Death Day movies, Alice Winkler from Space Age from Outer Space, Andrea Collins, Julian Prescott. And it's going to be awesome. So we started we did a teaser, actually. Like, we shot essentially the first 7 minutes of the movie. And posted that on our Indiegogo and started raising money, and we were doing great for a few days. And I think it was 3 days after we started the campaign is when everything started shutting down. And so it has slowed down considerably. So, yeah, so I've had to get creative on how to fund this movie. And, yes, Dr. Bubenstein donated her salary for Faces of the Dead to the film. I am going to be doing another film, an at-home film with Brad Thomason, who is my director for Backwoods Bubba, another movie that's coming up, and I'll donate my money there. And then not exactly what I wanted to do as a producer, but so I'm donating all of the money that, from my OnlyFans site in April and May to the film. So far, I've raised $1,000. I'm like, hey, you know, whatever you got to do, I'm going to get this movie made. So hopefully the world will start back up and we will have the ability to film in September. So it's not going to be a matter of the finances. It's just going to be a matter on, you know, the state of the world at that point in time.
Yeah. And you donating all your money, it isn't how you want to do it, but it does show that you have the drive. And somehow that could give other people the drive to come with you on your mad journey.
Well, and to be honest, too, I mean, I did a lot of research. I did my homework. I was involved in quite a few crowdfunding campaigns prior to this, just to kind of get my feet wet and figure out, like, what works, what doesn't work. And even when I started this, I thought, we're seeing the end of the crowdfunding type thing. People are going to have to find a different way. Like, you know, it went from trying to get private investors. Well, that's kind of gone away, you know, because people aren't giving their money for that, you know, and then going to, like, smaller investors, that's going away. And so I almost feel like this is a chance for me to innovate and to figure out, like, the next way to fund an independent movie. I don't really like to be at the forefront of that, but I already had that feeling that was going to happen eventually, and I think now by necessity, we're all going to have to come up with some more creative ways to keep making our movies.
Yeah. Because I've seen too many so-called indie films go like, hey, we're going to do a crowdfunder for our movie. All right, we raised $100,000. And then 4 months later, hey, we're halfway through the project. We need to do another crowdfunding movie. Drive.
Yeah.
And then, hey, we're going to do a third crowdfunding to do the post work.
Right. And I mean, and that's legit, you know, as long as that is set out there initially. Like, but yeah, when people just keep asking for money and keep asking for money, all that does is show that they are novices and have no idea how to budget. And I've said many times that being a director or producer has nothing to do with saying action or, you know, or writing a script. It has something to do with it, obviously. But I mean, more than that, you have to be able to be organized and manage things. You have to be able to schedule people. You have to be able to find money. You have to be able to budget that money. And if you can't, you're going to fail.
Yeah. Or as I say when I prepare a podcast, always expect the worst. That way you'll be pleasantly surprised and prepare for it.
That's right, because you need... Because most people are like, oh, I have a plan B. No. You need a plan A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. So
yeah.
you gotta count on more than one thing going wrong in any creative project.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we had enough money to shoot for 5 months. I'm sure we'll get it done. And then we only got 1/3 of script filmed.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be able to, you know, and we did, when we did our teaser, we did it in the weekend. It's really, essentially, we did it in one day. But I got Rob up here from New Orleans. Andy came up here from Tennessee. Alice came up here from, basically from Kentucky. And we got everybody together and we had basically never hire people based on a handshake, by the way, that are your friends. Our special effects person, she messaged us like that day and said, oh yeah, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. And so we had to like try to find all the makeup that we needed. I was in the kitchen cooking blood, you know, like when we were supposed to be filming. We got started way later, you know, I mean, and that's just the way it's going to be. And we worked around it, and we had fun with it. So, and it probably turned out better because of our unfortunate incident.
Yeah, well, I have two things. You've seen Bad Biology with Frank Henlotter's film, right?
Henlotter, yeah.
Yeah, he talks about the last 5 minutes, what the baby did. He's like, the baby did not do what... The prop did not do what we expected to do. It did something better.
Right. Well, I mean, if you think about it, the most famous example of that is Jaws. I mean, they had this huge machine, this robot that didn't work half the time, and so they ended up having to not show it and instead use music, and that became iconic. I mean, sometimes the things that go wrong are the things that make your movie what is memorable.
Yeah. Well, look at Evil Dead. They didn't have a cast to the last third of the movie. It was basically Sam Raimi, Robert Tappert.
Yeah.
And Bruce Campbell.
And they had no money. Yeah, they had no money, too.
And they filmed on one of the coldest freaking winters in this area. And I'm from the same area as Evil Dead. Good God, was the weather horrible.
Yep, you got to suck it up and keep going.
Yeah, you always got to find a way to go work around it. And I don't understand why someone would be like, wait till last minute and say, oh, hey, I can't make it. What?
Yeah, and it basically it is just the nature of independent filmmaking. You know, when you don't have a lot of money to give to people, when it's not, it's more of a kind of a gentleman's agreement, or people aren't as invested in a project as you. And I think that if I had to give any advice to anyone who's trying to make their own movie, is that the first thing you have to realize is no one cares about your project nearly as much as you do. And you just have to realize that going in, that anybody at any point in time could say, you know what, I'm not going to do this, just because it doesn't mean as much to them. So you have to be ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, because of the Knoxville Horror Film Fest, I've met a lot of no-budget and indie directors, especially because of what they do on Saturday night, which is the Grindhouse Grindout, which is you're a filmmaking crew, you sign up there, you pay $20, you pull a subject out of a hat, and you have, like, about 2 weeks to make it, to write, make, and edit, and give the film to them. And then it gets voted on by us fans during that weekend.
Yeah. And that's fun. That's kind of like the 48-hour film project as well. We found out, and again, those are short films, but we found out on Friday at 7, our theme, they gave us a theme, we had to basically roll dice for a genre. And then we had to incorporate an action, a prop, and a character of a certain, with certain parameters. And then we had 48 hours to write it, film it, edit it, and get it up to them. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It really it tests your creativity.
Yeah, I recommend anyone who wants to shoot a movie to do one of those contests like that first to see if you can actually pull things together.
Yeah, and that's it too. Sometimes it's not about the end product. It's about, are you capable of the process?
Yeah, most people only see the end product. They don't want to know about the process.
No, they don't. They don't.
They don't want to know about being stuck out in the middle of nowhere at 3 a.m. because you guys got lost going to a set or coming back from a set.
Yeah. Yeah. The things you can laugh about later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's the same with podcasting too. We have all these people now since this are just trying it, and they really don't have a focus for their shows. I mean, your shows are focused. TV, SOV, horror.
Yeah, I've had a couple people who have started podcasts and they asked me for advice. And I've said I need to, like, write it out, like, in a Google Doc that I can just share, because I've given my thoughts to several people, and it's like, oh, these lengthy text messages. But yeah, one is to know what the heck you're doing. Like, just have a focus, have a format, have something consistent that people can count on, number one. And then all the other things I've gone through, because I don't just do the podcast. I actually am the producer, the editor, you know, like a little bit of everything. And so, I have a lot of technical advice that I give to people just about how to make things a little bit easier. And I've been told by the people who have used it that, you know, my advice has been pretty sound.
Yeah. My only advice I can have is do a subject that you're going to have fun with 8 months down the road, not at the immediate moment.
Right. And something, yeah, that's sustainable. So, yeah, if you want to base it around, say, oh, we're going to base our podcast around, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street movies, and it's like, okay, well, there's only so much content you can have from that. Like, you know, don't put yourself in a box, for sure.
Yeah. If you narrow focus, you're gonna burn out.
Yes, no kidding. And you're gonna have a very limited audience as well.
Yeah. Just because you hang around nothing but Nightmare on Elm Street fans doesn't mean there's a lot of them. It just means there's a lot within your social circle.
Yeah, true.
I have to explain that a lot to my co-host sometimes. He's like, yeah, but this group I'm in, this art film group, they always talk about this film. Yes, but how many people are in that group? Oh, there's hundreds. Thank you.
Yeah. Very, very true.
But I'm glad that you're actually getting success into this and fun, and you really aren't one of those that are focused on, you know, I want to be one of the big boys as soon as I come out of the gate.
Yeah, and really, I mean, my whole focus as far as filmmaking and acting is really just to have fun. I mean, I am attached to, I don't even know how many projects that hopefully, like I said, if the world starts back up, I'll be, doing over the next year or two. I know at least 15, so I'm not in it for money. I'm not in it for fame, for sure. I am doing films that I would want to watch. I often say on my podcast, like, most of the time when I recommend a movie, I have to put a disclaimer, this is not for everyone. I just am that kind of person that I like things that aren't for everyone. And those are the kinds of movies that I've been doing. So a lot of slashers, I made a joke a couple months ago. I had gotten cast within 2 days. I had gotten cast as a prostitute, a cannibal, and a cannibalistic prostitute in 3 different films. And I was like, so I'm pretty sure if you guys have something messed up you need done in the movie, like, I'm your go-to girl. And I actually got some roles from that as well. So I'm going to be in some crazy, crazy stuff. And then also, behind the scenes, I'm actually producing a film called Oh My Darling that's going to be shot here in Indiana. We were going to do it over the summer. It's probably now going to be in the fall. And it is a teenage slasher throwback, 80s throwback. It's going to be super, super fun. In October, I'm shooting a film in Virginia called Backwoods Bubba, which is about a psycho who likes to dress people up as animals and release them out in the woods and hunt them. So I actually co-wrote that one. So that will be super cool. And then we talked about Dwayne. You said Dwayne had been on your show before. So I actually did something a couple weeks ago that he's putting together, but he is doing a quarantine movie of his own, not for a contest, but he gave several of us scenes to do to film at our own house. And he wrote the script with the nature of it all being kind of like pieced together. I'm excited though because I'm going to be in his film Bloody Hooker Massacre. But he gave me the script to start out with, and he's like, tell me if anything jumps out at you. And I was like, well, obviously there's a lot of hookers in this movie. But I'm like, being a prostitute in so many movies in 2020, I'm like, can I be the psychiatrist instead? I'm like, maybe the year of 2021 will not be the year of the prostitute for me.
Yeah. Bloody Hooker Massacre. Yes, it's one of those movies.
Yep.
Yes, it's one of those movies.
Yes, really. Like, you might need to tell him that one.
Yeah, the kind
but
of film
keep,
that we,
yes.
that all of us, go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, it's definitely the kind of film that I'm into, that I would want to watch. I mean, I would watch a movie called Bloody Hooker Massacre, for sure, you know? So, of course I want to do it.
Yeah, we'd watch the craziest stuff in the 80s at Video Store. We'd go in there like, oh, Black Devil Doll from Hell, I'll take it.
Yeah. No, I still do. Again, those are the movies that I still like. But, no, I did tease to you that I had an announcement as well. It was going to be a your show. Yeah, I did. So this is announced later today, but I did get permission for early announcement. But I've just been cast in a film called The True Tale of Old Splitfoot versus the Lesbian Warrior Nuns of the Great White North. It is going to be a really awesome grindhouse throwback movie, basically about a group of strippers who are actually nuns, but they are working at a strip club as undercover, and they basically have to save the world against demonic forces. So it's going to be great, and it's just announced yesterday that Michael Paré from Bone Tomahawk, Puppet Master Littlest Reich, and Robert Lissardo from Nip Tuck and the Mule actually are going to be the two male leads. And it's going to be directed by a veteran director, Massimiliano. I probably said that wrong. Cersei. So it is going to be fun, and we are going to be filming that in November.
Oh, cool. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
The best local film from around here that I've seen in the past 5 years is probably Tennessee Gothic. I love the holy crap out of that. Have you got to see that one?
I actually, yeah. So I am friends with Katie Gershong Lowe and Jeff Wedding, the producer and director and director-writer of the movie.
Yeah, me too.
And I got the screener for one of the sites that I write for, Beyond the Void. And I love the movie, and I reached out to them and started doing some interviews, and then I actually was with them at a convention in Manchester, Tennessee, the Rocky Top Horror Show that was organized by Donald Farmer, also a Tennessee director. Then the composer, Greg Bennett, is actually from Indiana. And there was a showing here. And so Greg's actually, I hired Greg to do the music for my movie, The Embalmers. So if you watch the teaser, he actually did all the music for that for free on the fly. I just realized when I was editing it, I was like, I need some music. And so I just happened to say to Greg, hey, if I threw you some money, could you get me like some atmosphere music for this and that? You know, and like 15 minutes later, he's like, here you go. It's on the house. So I was like, all right.
Brad's like, can you do music for my movie? Brad's like, yeah. Money? Okay.
He just did it for free. And we actually went and we were in Logansport, Indiana, which is, if you don't live in Indiana, you have no idea what that is, but it's close to where he grew up, and we did a screening of it. I did a Q&A with them for Pop Horror, which is another site that I write for, and we all had a slumber party at Greg's mom's house. So yeah, that movie is fabulous. Getting back to that, yes, Tennessee Gothic is fabulous. I mean, I'm so glad I stumbled upon it and became friends with all of them because of that movie, and I love seeing all the successes they've had at different film festivals with it too.
Yeah, I just love, and it's hilarious that since we're in the same area, how incestuous the circle are. Everyone in these areas run into.
Yeah, I always say that indie horror has a shallow gene pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. People like to say that, you know, everybody wants to name drop, or like everybody puts the same people in their movies, and it's like, well, no, it's just because we're all just like one little happy family.
You know, we go to the conventions, we go to the horror festivals, we run into them. It's like, hey, I know why. I've seen him leaning out against the car and talk to him outside the Knoxville Horror Festival.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. So just as far as my Tennessee connections, aside from, you know, those guys, the Tennessee Gothic Gypsy Root guys, but I also mentioned Donald Farmer. So he is a veteran director who is also an SOV director from the past. And
The Knoxville Horror Fest film, guys, again, did a showing of the one, The Shark Exorcist.
Right. And I am actually going to be in Tennessee this summer, as long as travel is permitted, I'll be in Tennessee this summer for doing the spiritual successor to Shark Exorcist, the Bigfoot Exorcist.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Fest this October if it's on.
Yeah, well, I might have to.
I'm having William and the guys from the Central Cinema who put it on a Sunday to help promote them and the virtual screenings they're doing to keep their theaters open. And yes, if you love a local indie theater anywhere, look and see if they are doing virtual screenings and rent one of the movies from them. They'll get 50% of the money and you'll help keep your place where you get to see all the weird little films open.
Yeah, and that is going to be key, that a lot of the things like that, the smaller things that we take for granted, are going to be gone when all of this is over if we don't support them now. So support your vendors. Go to some of these virtual conventions that are being held. You know, support the guests who would normally be. People don't realize that a lot of the celebrities at these conventions, they rely on conventions for their income. It's not just something that a lot of them do as a little side thing. It's something that they do that they count on for money. And same with the vendors who sell things there. So it's really important if you want to keep your conventions going once all this is back up and running, then support all those people now while they need it.
And support the smaller guys, not these guys that are charging, no names, $300 or $150 for just their autograph.
Right. And those are the people who are, I can't speak to them. Because I don't really, like, when I go to conventions, I don't really talk to, I don't stand in line for the, you know, the big wigs. I'm more, I'll talk to the smaller people or people who were, like, random, you know, randomly in some slasher movie that I liked from the 80s or whatever. And those are the people, yes, that they depend on that for income.
Yeah, and if you're a podcaster, get some of these smaller guys on that. You would guess they're fun, and they will jump at the chance of, like, you mean I can promote my stuff? Yes. They will jump on the chance
and,
to be on your show.
You know, and that was one of the things that I found, probably I'd say, once I started doing, like, interviews. I did my first filmmaker interview with Tony Wash, director of Skeletons in the Closet, last March at Horror Hound. And I was so nervous. I was like, oh, my gosh. And Steve Rosensky, who did Carousel. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm, like, talking to these filmmakers or whatever. And then I realized they were appreciative that somebody asked them to promote their stuff. And people think that filmmakers are untouchable. They're not. They're out there just trying to promote their stuff just as much as you are. And so reach out, and since then, I mean, I'll watch a movie, I'll just run a movie on Amazon or whatever and be like, hey, that's pretty cool, like Camp Killer. It was like, I watched it, did it on my podcast, and I hit up Sean Jones, the director, and, you know, ended up having him on the show, and he was ecstatic. I mean, you don't realize that a lot of these movies that you watch when you're just going through, you know, streaming video on demand, they're made by people just like us, who really want to talk about their stuff and who are thrilled when people want to highlight their stuff.
Amen. The first director I interviewed was for a magazine that was Christopher Mim, who does a lot of throwback movies. And you're right. Your first interview is always going to be scary as crap because you're afraid that you're going to screw up.
Yeah, well, you're afraid that you're small potatoes, but you don't realize, like, just reach out. Just, you know, if you write for anything, if you do a podcast, if you're a YouTuber, just reach out to those people. Because for the longest time, I felt like they were untouchable. And then I realized, no, they are really just like us. And they're great resources. And the fact that I've been able to talk to so many of them is the reason why I can make a movie. Because I've learned enough from everybody else to kind of see what the ins and outs are, what the pitfalls are, you know, what to look out for, just by talking to other independent filmmakers.
Yeah. And they get like, you mean she's a chick, and she's beautiful, and she knows and loves the genre? Let's hire her! We won't have any fights about her! You know, we won't have any fights. It's like...
Yeah.
Rebecca, we need you to get nude and wallow in a big bucket of blood. Okay, what time?
Yeah, yes, that's exactly it. That's me, like, I'd be mad if I didn't get to do that. I like to get messy and get murdered, so on screen, okay?
Yeah. Only time that she murders if you really screw over her film, and then...
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll get a little mean about that. But
unless you think you can work with them down the future, and then you'll be nice about it.
Yeah, maybe. But that's how, I mean, that honestly, that's also, like, I, you know, just to kind of come back around to what I said before, that's how I've gotten all, basically most of the roles that I am, I've worked on or am working on is just by sheer networking, just by having been a promoter of other people's stuff. So.
Yeah, that's how you start. You promote other people's stuff. That's what most people don't.
Well, it does show that you have a passion for that particular genre. I mean, because obviously, like, you and I, we're not making any money off of this, or very little money, you know. I mean, it all is just about the passion. I think I make enough on my podcast Patreon to pay for my podcast hosting service.
Yeah.
That's about it. I maybe get about $5 a month. I maybe get like a Starbucks coffee, like extra.
You're like, yeah, I did good this month. How? What do you eat? I got a Starbucks coffee and a bagel. Whoa.
Yes. Ooh, yeah, that's a big month.
Yeah, it's like the other day I was bragging. I was like, wow, I've gotten 400 more listens since this started. Oh, man, things are running now.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you know, but that's what it is all about, is like how many people are listening and how many people you're entertaining. I mean, and really at the end of the day, as I always say, especially on my YouTube channel, is I do it to entertain myself. And if anybody else wants to come along with me, that is great. You know, I'm, you know, if I make anybody else smile or laugh or whatever, then fine. But really when it comes down to it, all I care about is that I've had fun, and I've entertained myself.
Yeah. Well, the biggest compliment I ever got is this guy, when I really first started doing this, is about a year into it. This guy came up to me and said to me, he said, "You're that dude from The Thing."
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, sure.
Yes, that's me.
I think I felt like I, quote-unquote, made it. When I was at Horror Hound in Indianapolis last summer, and I was walking through the convention center, and these guys from another podcast ran up to me, and they were like, "We love your show," and they like handed me a shirt from their show, and I was like, "You know who I am?" You know, like, woohoo!
And yes, she has OnlyFans. And that is $10 a month, and let's be honest, she gives out stuff on her OnlyFans for $10 a month that most other sites would charge $50 or $60 for.
Yeah, I'm a bargain, guys. And then also, just if I can plug it one more time, because I know we're kind of getting to the end of this,
yeah.
If you go to Indiegogo, and search for The Embalmers, you'll know you're at the right place, because there is a fabulous, fabulous poster for the film that was done by a man named Mark Schoenbach of Fatus Art Designs. Go there, watch our teaser. If nothing else, just go and watch our teaser just to see, you know, what we're trying to do. And if you can contribute, even like $5, makes a huge difference. I mean, that's like a sandwich for somebody on set one day. So,
yeah. Is,
but even if you don't, if you like the teaser, share it out to all your friends.
Yeah. Is there going to be perks from this film? I mean, like the poster, I've seen it. That would just be a good perk, just
yep.
Get a copy of the poster.
Yeah. So, so we have a lot of the standard perks. So we have perks for DVD, Blu-ray, signed scripts, also the poster signed by all of our cast and crew. So yeah, that poster is fabulous. Will look great on your wall. We do have, I think, a couple of associate producer and executive producer spots left. We have already sold off all of our roles that we were selling off or auctioning off, but we will be adding in days on the set so people can pay to actually come to the set for a day, see what's going on, you know, talk to all the actors, you know, have a drink with
us,
whatever.
Be the coffee bitch.
You know, we won't. You know what? We'll only make you do that if you choose to be the coffee bitch.
Yeah.
Say that.
Well, I was gonna say, is there any way you can help out? Yeah. Go give me some coffee.
Yeah. So we'll be adding that in. I've been waiting for a little bit because I've been waiting for maybe, maybe a time when people are a little bit more financially stable to put that one in. And we will probably end up doing another crowdfunding campaign when it comes time for filming, just because we were kind of cut short with the current situation, but we're still forging ahead. And
yeah.
And like I said, I'm stubborn. I am a stubborn bitch, and I will get this film made one way or the other.
Yeah. This is, right now she is Ahab and that movie is her white whale.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more, the movie is the love boat and I'm Captain Subing. Like, I will make sure that we get to Acapulco, everybody.
So you'll get laid once a year and then you'll get laid by your movie once a year and then promise to stay with it forever and then then forget about it next episode.
No. But I won't have Charo in my movie, though. So hopefully everybody is old enough to understand the references we're making right now.
Yeah. Sorry, no sale. We got to have the coochie-coochie girl.
That's right. If she's still alive, she needs
the
coochie-coochie girl. Yeah. And I am in the film, so... Yeah, maybe I can throw a Charo reference in there now.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on. And name your podcast name before.
Okay. So my podcast, which is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, also on YouTube, it's called In the Mic of Madness. So it's obviously a play on the title of the movie In the Mouth of Madness. But that podcast is where I host both the flagship show and my SOBs Who Love SOB. And I am on YouTube. I am the Not Quite Final Girl. And I do a lot of drunken commentaries, which tend to be very popular. So a couple months ago, I was trying to get some friends to FaceTime watch Sleepaway Camp with me, or Sleepaway Camp 2, and everybody was just too busy, and I was pretty drunk, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to watch it without all y'all. So I just turned on my camera, watched it, and just gave my commentary like I normally would, edited it up, and posted it, and people were like, oh, this is so fun, I want to do one of these with you, and I was like, no. None of you wanted to watch the movie with me before. I'm going to do my drunken commentaries by myself. So I've done several since then where I just turn on the camera and I kind of talk. My dog ends up, Snickers is my co-host. She ends up jumping on the recliner every time and joining me. They're fun. They're fun little things I've done. The Burning I've done. I did Jason X in preparation for our podcast, which was painful for me. If you want to see someone in true anguish, watch my drunken commentary on Jason X. But again, that's on YouTube, the Not Quite Final Girl. And come over to Facebook, search for the Embalmers, and come join us for our fun and frivolity on that.
Thank you very much. And to do my own self-pimping, tonight's commentary on the night, Man Who Fell to Earth, well, we had a little bit of problem recording yesterday, so we got to do a little work on it tomorrow, and it will be up by Friday night, I promise, I hope. And Sunday, we will have the people from Central Cinema here as we talk about the virtual screenings and stuff.
Oh, well, that's cool. I'll have to tune in for that. I'm interested in that a lot.
Yeah, and next Thursday, we'll be doing Peter Greenaway's The Belly of an Architect to finish up the month, because that's what Carl's wants. And then we'll be moving on to next month, which will be the worst and best in Latino movies. You think you're going to deal with pain? I'm going to be watching Walk Proud with Robbie Benson. I've got more of a masochistic streak than you. Yeah, you may watch Jason X, but will you watch Robbie Benson playing a Latino with a bad Latino accent?
I don't know. That sounds kind of interesting. I might have to go search for that.
I mean, it's hilarious. Looking at guy, one of the most Jewish actors ever, Robbie Benson, playing a Puerto Rican.
Hey, you know what? He has range. Belly of an Architect, is that Brian Dennehy?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he recently passed away. That was sad. So R.I.P.
Yeah,
Brian.
That's what we're doing for Brian Dennehy.
Yeah.
And thank you for being on and support her movie. Go to her, and if you're a guy who likes guy or a girl who likes sexy women, go to her My Friends page, her My Fans page.
Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, onlyfans.com/Becca Reinhart. So, and again, if you contribute to that, you are contributing to my movie.
Amen.
All right,
thank you
very much
for
having me on.
Thank you for taking back out of your busy schedule.
Yep. I got to go edit my podcast now.
She was psychically editing it while she was doing the show. That's how professional she was.
That's right. Yep.
Okay,
all right.
Thank
you, have
you
a
and
nice. Thank you very much.
Have a nice day.
All right, you too. Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood chamber pressure increases. It's at full.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Blue Magneto's right. There's a war coming.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
You sure you're on the right side?
Hasta la vista, baby.